Everybody good? All right. Well, I've got a little bit more of a voice this week. Thank you for your prayers for last week. Before we get into Psalm 15 this week, I want to rewind maybe for those that were here, those who weren't, and just to remind you of a word that was in Psalm 14. It said, "No one is righteous, no, not one." I want you to think about that as we read Psalm 15, none are righteous, no, not one. Righteous being pure and holy and doing what is right. None is righteous, no, not one. Psalm 15 says, "O Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? Who shall dwell on your holy hill? He who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speaks truth in his heart, who does not slander with his tongue and does not do evil to his neighbor, nor takes up reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord, who swears to his own hurt and does not change, who does not put out money at interest and does not take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved." Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to come together. We thank you for the family that you're building out here. We thank you for your church that is the family of God. We love you. We pray and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to challenge you this morning to, again, remember the words of Psalm 14. None is righteous, no, not one. Then we hit Psalm 15, and David continues with a question, and he asks this question, "O Lord, who will dwell on your holy hill? Who will live in your holy tent?" He's continuing a theme here, and really the rest of the verse, we look at this, he asks this question, he spends the rest of the psalm answering this question. Again, "O Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? Who will dwell in your tent? Who shall live on your holy hill?" And then he continues and answers the rest of the psalm with those who do right, those who are righteous, those who walk in an upright manner, those who don't do wicked, those who live in such a way that it's obvious. But yet when we think about Psalm 14 from the last week, we see that still there are none righteous, no, not one. And so when David asks a question like this, "O Lord, who shall live in your tent? Who shall live on your holy hill?" He lists a bunch of qualities that, if I'm honest this morning, I do not find in myself. I do not find them in you, because I can read Psalm 14 that says, none of us are righteous, no, not one. Last week, I kind of pointed out a few people, and I won't do that again. I won't do double jeopardy here, but I pointed out and named people, and I said, I know this person, and I know they're not righteous. They're not holy. They're not pure. They're not in a state of never doing wrong. And David says that himself. We looked at Paul saying that, Isaiah saying that none are righteous, no, not one. In fact, David continues the rest of this Psalm 15 of who will dwell in God's holy city. He answers, those who are blameless, those who are righteous, those who speak the truth, those who never slander, those who never do evil, and on and on and on. And it develops a problem yet again, as we saw last week. That's us. We are the people that do these things. We are the people who are not righteous. And based on David's answer again, "O Lord, who shall dwell in your tent? Who shall live in your holy hill?" None of us are worthy to do so, based on these definitions alone. And God's holy hill would be empty. I want you to think about that. If really we were honestly answer this question on our own, and we were left to ponder this deep question and forced to give an answer of who will dwell on God's holy hill, if it's based on these definition of alone, then the holy hill will be filled with one person and one person alone, and that is God himself. It would be an empty holy hill, because none of us are righteous, no, not one. But then you remember I gave great news last week of this great exchange. It was in 2 Corinthians, where Jesus himself, the humble servant that lived a perfect life and that died a cruel death even on a cross, as Philippians tells us, that he laid down his righteousness in exchange for your sin, so that you could lay down your sin in exchange for his righteousness. Anybody still want to say that's a good deal? Amen. That we could lay down our sin and pick up the righteousness of God. And we look at that and we ask a question: who will dwell on his holy hill? It is only by the grace and mercy of Jesus that any of us would ever find himself there. I've got news for you this week. We lost someone in the Christian faith that everybody has probably heard of, Billy Graham. And if Billy Graham is standing before a holy God based on his own righteousness, it's still going to be an empty holy hill. Only God would be there. Billy Graham is not righteous enough because Scripture says none is righteous, no, not one. So we can honestly in human reasoning say, well, if Billy Graham can't make it on his own, there's no help for me. I want to tell you this morning that you don't have to stand there on your own. In fact, there's no hope in that. But there is hope in this great exchange. There is hope. In fact, I want to give you the words of Jesus in a parable in Luke chapter 14. Here's who I think will live in this holy hill. It says in verse 15 of chapter 14 in Luke, it says, when one of those reclined at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. But he said to him, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. Anybody ever been invited by God to do something and the first thing we do is make excuses? Anybody ever done that? I'm raising my hand as a definitive yes, I've done that, right? We feel the calling of God. We know the calling of God. We know the truth. We know all these things, but yet we somehow make excuses, and that is what happens in this parable. Come, for everything is now ready, but they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a field. I must go and see it. Please have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I will go examine them. Please have me excused. Another said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. What's your excuse today? If you feel the calling of God, if you hear the calling of God, what is your excuse today? Maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe it's you don't know what I've done. Maybe it's I'll never get my life in a good enough place. I'll never be a Billy Graham. I'll never be righteous. Again, let me remind you, no one can be righteous on their own. None are righteous. No, not one. What is your excuse this morning to answer the call of God? It says here that the servant came and reported these things to his master, and the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, go out quickly to the streets and to the lanes of the city and bring in the poor and crippled, the blind and the lame. And the servant said, sir, what you have commanded has been done. And listen to this, there is still room. And the master said to the servant, go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in that my house may be filled. I want to tell you this morning, I believe something is real simple. Jesse just sang about it. Jesse just talked about it. It's too easy. You see, there is nothing in our life that we don't have to do something for. We work a job for wages, right? We have to earn relationships. We have to keep up appearances. We have to do all kind of things in this life for certain things to happen. And so when we think about this eternity, when we think about this life that really David asked the question, who will dwell? Right? David, a man after God's own heart, coming to a place of saying, who will dwell in this holy city? We have to first in our human reasoning go to, I surely must have to do something. You see, that's too good. To die in this life and to step into some place that's eternally great and wonderful and blessed and being in God's presence, surely I have to do something to earn that because I have to earn everything. I have to fight for every inch. Some of us feel that way. I have to fight for every single thing I've got. I've got to fight to even stay alive. Surely I've got to do something for that. I want to tell you like David and Paul and Isaiah, continuing from last week, that there are none righteous, no, not one. And that offers a problem. You can't do anything to earn this. You can't. And while that may feel disheartening, it may feel like you've come to the end of yourself and saying, well, now I'm here at a church service. By the way, I just want to tell you this. I had, again, a question about this morning. Somebody said, what church is this? This is your church. This is the church at Southside that meets on the north side. We're directionally challenged, and that's okay. All right? But here's what I want to tell you. The church is not brick and mortar. Amen. It's not a building. It's not four walls. The church is not somewhere you go. It's something that you are. The church is flesh and bones. Feel yourself. If you're the family of God, this is the church. This is our church. Right? This isn't an arm of a church. This isn't a leg of a church. This isn't somebody just sending. This is our church. This is where we go to gather together. By the way, I want to even train myself that I don't go to church. I am the church. Nothing special about me. It's just Jesus died for me and I accepted that gift. I am the church. You are the church. Would you like to be a member of this church? Do you believe in Jesus? You're in. That's all you got to do. No special prayer, no dance, no dunk of water. All that can come later. We can talk about some of those things, but this is the church. All right? And so now you're saying, well, now this guy's got a church service going on. He's telling me there's nothing I can do to earn my salvation. You're exactly right. And while that may feel disheartening to some, it may feel disheartening to a religious heart to say, surely there's got to be A, B, C that I can do to earn this. No, you can't. I don't tell you that to be disheartening. Can I tell you why I tell you that this morning? I believe, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to tell you this. Everybody look my way. Everybody from the truck on back, everybody over here, I want you to look at me. Listen this way. Here's why I tell you this is because I believe the Holy Spirit wants to set captives free. This is freedom found in this, that you can't do it on your own. Listen, great news, it's already been done. Here's the only thing you can do. Who will dwell in this holy city? Who will dwell in this holy tent? I believe it's the ones that will accept the invitation to the great banquet. You see, I believe there's already, anybody ever been to a fancy banquet? I hadn't been to many, but I know there's some where you go and it's got your name on there and it's got the fine china sitting out. See, we do things here kind of like the Dixie cup and all that stuff, and that's more my style, right? But if you go to a fancy banquet, sometimes they got a place and they got a nameplate. Man, they got the linen and they got all that nice stuff and they got nice food. You see, I believe that there's a place with your name on it. I believe there's a place waiting for you to just accept the invitation, and it's simply at that to come to the end of yourself and say, I can't do this whole life on my own. I can't make it on my own. Jesus, would you save me? Would you save me from my sin and self, and would you be my Lord and Savior? It's as simple as that. I believe that David asked a deep question and one that is problematic if we try to figure it out on our own. Who will dwell in the holy city? Who will live in your tent? I think the answer is you. If you come to the end of yourself and say, Jesus, would you be my Lord and Savior? Would you pay the price for me? Would you be my invitation? Would you be the one that, man, not just the here and now, believe you, I think that he came to give us life and give it abundantly here. And by the way, I wish I could paint that abundant life means that you're going to wake up in the morning and just like my 14-year-old self knew that my first car was going to be a Lamborghini, I prayed for it that those doors would open up high and it would be cherry red and it would be awesome. God doesn't work like that. I sometimes wish he did. It doesn't mean that. Abundant life means that we can make it through this life, this world at war, this world in chaos and conflict. We can have hope in a place that is not our home. You understand that, right? If you've accepted Jesus this morning, if you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior, you know this is not your home, right? This is temporary. Even the struggle, that makes it even better, right? That this is light and momentary affliction compared to the weight of his eternal glory, Scripture says. I think it says that is because it's a literal weight. I think the glory is going to be so great that when we stand before him, it's just going to feel, man, it's going to feel good. Going to be in his presence. I want you to do this morning. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes this morning, and I want you to think of just your life. I don't want you to bring anybody else into this picture right now. I want you just to think about you. I'm giving you permission to be selfish right now and think about you. Don't think about your wife, your husband, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your mom, your dad, any of those things. I want you to think about you. What does God think about you? See, my brother Jesse, he asks a question sometimes of, do you understand how important you are to God? I'm going to be honest. If you come to a place this morning and say, no, not me, I'm not important, then we got some work to do. The Holy Spirit's got some work to do because you are the pinnacle of His creation. You are the apple of His eye. When He created you, He stepped back and said, very good. Psalm 139 says that He intricately wove you together in your mother's womb before anyone ever knew you. Created you with purpose, a story to live, a story to be a part of. And He did that, not that that story would end here on earth tragically and that would be the end of it. He wants to be reunited with His great creation, His grand creation. He made a way possible for that, and that is that great exchange, that Jesus laid down His righteousness to take on your sin so that you could lay down your sin and pick up His righteousness. Who will dwell in His holy city? Honestly, I think it's up to you. Will you answer yes to the invitation? Will you say, yes, I want some of that? And man, that's what makes a difference. That's what makes a difference here on this earth. That's what allows you to come to a place at the end of yourself and say, you know what, I want to serve somebody else because of that great love. I want to let somebody else know about a love that great. Would you say yes to the invitation? My prayer is that if you haven't ever, today would be the first. If you already have, that you would remind yourself that you are just so important to God. He loves you. He cares for you. Everybody look this way just a second. I think there's a second part of this, though. I believe that when we understand that, when we grasp that, there's a banquet available for others, right? That means the people that you pass on the street. That means the people that live at your apartment. That means the people that live at your camp. That means anybody that you come in contact to, the invitation is there to enjoy, join that banquet. That means we're supposed to tell people, right? I want to make a deal with you this morning. If you say, man, I don't know how to do that. I can't invite others. I don't really understand it all myself. You invite them here, and we'll invite them together. How about that? All right? That's what this is about. People ask all the time, why are you doing this? Man, this is more than chicken pot pie. Chicken pot pie is glorious. I love chicken pot pie. You can tell by my figure I love chicken pot pie and all kind of other things that have crusty fried goodness to it. All right? But, man, it's more important than that. We're here to let you know how much God loves you, how much He loves me. I have to look myself in the mirror and remind myself of that every day, that God loves me, that I am important, that He died for me. That's what this thing is about, all right? I want to challenge you this morning, man. If you've never met Him, would you accept that invitation today? And if you have, just remind yourself, man, that you are loved, and not only by God, but He's given you family here. That's why He has brought us together, to celebrate this goodness. Amen? I want to pray and just pray God's blessings over you. Thank you for listening this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day, and we just pray, God, that this message would just ring true in our heart, that we would, first off, have been to a place at the end of ourselves where we would have accepted this invitation. As David asked the question, to dwell in your holy city, to dwell in your tent, and not just for an eternity's sake, not just for a free ticket, God, to spend eternity with you, but that it would change us here, that it would allow God, even in a world at war, that we would be able to come to a place at the end of ourselves and serve others and let others know, man, there is a good story that has been played out for you. There is an invitation for you as well, no matter what. And Father, it has no bearing on what we've done, what we're doing, or what we will do. It is what has been done and paid for on the cross of Jesus Christ. We thank you for that. That is the good news this morning. That is the gospel. That is why we are here as family to celebrate together. We love you. And I pray, God, that those here who've never accepted that invitation, today would be the day. And God, those of us that have, we would just remind ourselves of the great story that we've been a part of. We love you. We thank you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.